Welcome to Empathy in Action. I'm your host, Jennifer Rogers Brown. Empathy in Action is a podcast by Rural and Migrant Ministry as part of our Journey of Empathy caravan to save New York's rural economy. In this podcast series, we will hear stories from the past and present. These stories hold up the resilience, struggles, and positive impact of rural communities and immigrants in New York State. In this first episode of the series, we talk about why we are leading a caravan from Eastern Long Island to Buffalo, New York. You will hear from some of our leaders at RMM who will shed light on what is happening during the caravan and why we need such an event. First up is RMM's Executive Director, Reverend Richard Witt. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, Richard. Can you tell us more about RMM's caravan that starts August 2nd?
The caravan, which is called Save Our Rural Economy, A Journey of Empathy, has risen out of people feeling very frustrated and overwhelmed and angry and confused about the policies emerging, the national policies emerging from Washington that seek to exclude immigrant brothers and sisters and families, children from our country. And there have been a lot of protests. There has been a lot of pushback. And we realized that one of the things that you haven't heard much about in the past number of months, and you're starting to get a glimpse of it a little bit, is the impact on our economy, the impact here in New York on our rural economy with the departure, the detainment, and the deportation of immigrants is impacting not just those immigrant families, but also impacting the rest of us. In other words, it is impacting our tax base. It's impacting our who is purchasing things, who's putting money into the economy. But it's also impacting those whose livelihoods are dependent upon immigrants themselves. So we thought that it would be important to put together some sort of visible gathering that raised the importance of immigrants in the rural economy. And the more we thought about it, the more we thought, well, this is statewide in New York. So what's the best way to gain attention? But let's put together a caravan of cars that had signage on them that would travel across the state and draw attention to how immigrants are integrated into our economy.
How far will the caravan go?
So the caravan, the Save Our Rural Economy caravan, will actually go 1,000 miles. It begins in the South Fork of Long Island and travels up to the North Fork. And then the next day, it goes through the Hudson Valley and works its way up to the Capitol and all the way up to the border in Champlain, New York. And then it comes along the border, all the way down along the St. Lawrence Seaway into the area around Lake Ontario, stopping in such places as Ogdensburg and Watertown and Oswego, and then swings over to Auburn, New York, the home of Harriet Tubman, and then works its way across through Geneva and Rochester and Batavia and Albion, and eventually ending up in Buffalo on August 9th. So it's a 1 week long caravan.
Can you tell us what will happen along the way?
The idea of the caravan is to draw attention to the efforts of local people and their local economies. And so each day we will be starting at a significant spot, and then we will be stopping along the route to have vigils. And each of these stops, both the stops and the vigils, will take place in areas, sites that are an important part of the conversation about immigrants in economies. So we will be on farms, and agricultural centers will be at elected officials' offices and detention facilities, and New York welcome centers. We'll be at Harriet Tubman's home and the burial site of Frederick Douglass. We'll be going by rural schools and rural hospitals. At each place, we'll be stopping and we'll have speakers from the local community. We'll have some musicians. We'll have prayer. We'll have storytellers to really focus in a moment of reflection, of meditation about what is happening to all of us. Because as we have realized in putting this together, it's really about we, not they, and how this is impacting all of us. So, for example, if there are raids of dairy farms, then there's nobody to milk the cows. If there's nobody to milk the cows, then there's no milk. And if there's no milk, then there's no Chobani yogurt. And if there's no Chobani yogurt, above and beyond folks on the Upper West Side of New York City not having yogurt, it's also then impacting the dairy farmers who no longer have income. It's impacting the local counties that are missing out on the tax contributions from the Chobani, from the dairy farms. It's impacting folks who run the hardware stores or the local markets because now their customers are being impacted. There's a major connection, and the goal really of the caravan through all these stops and through publicity is to remind us of this impact, this connection. Because it's so easy for us to think, well, it's just folks that I don't know. Those are immigrants, and what do they really matter? And not see their humanity, but also not see their contribution to our own nourishment, our own well-being, our own economic livelihood.
What is a lesson that you learned in your experiences at RMM that you find yourself coming back to in these recent months?
I think one of the lessons I've learned through my years at RMM is the power of diversity. That when you bring together a group of diverse folk, of younger people and older people, of people from different cultural and racial backgrounds, of people from different geographic areas, of different socioeconomic backgrounds. When you bring together that diverse group of folk who gather together in a shared mission, then you feel the power that comes from those folks joining together. We had a march from the Hudson Valley, or no, from New York City to Albany years ago to get changes to improve farm workers' living conditions. And we came down the hill into the Capitol, and I looked around, and the march was led by a mariachi band. And there were all these union leaders that were marching along, and next to them were all these farm workers, and interspersed all these people of faith and young people. I mean, it was just this amazing group. And one of the farm workers that was marching next to me looked and he said, "Wow, this is amazing. And all these people have gathered together to try to bring about change." And he felt their energy, and he, and we all felt the breath that gave us stronger life. So, this caravan is yet another opportunity from fo for folks of different stripes to gather together and say, "I may not really know you, and I may not really know or understand your experiences or even what your dreams are per se, but I see that we share a similar commitment to honoring the humanity of people. And so let's be together as we work into honoring that humanity."
What would you like our caravan participants and supporters at home to know? Do you have any words of wisdom or encouragement for them?
I would like for all of us to know, and for those of you at home, it doesn't mean you're not being active, right? You're praying, you're writing to officials, you're writing to your local newspapers, letters to the editor and op-eds, you're making phone calls, you're finding ways to stand with people that are marginalized. So just a special note to those at home, there's an expectation that you're being active also. And in doing that, as well as those that are on the caravan, my hope is, my prayer is, that we will all realize that our actions make a difference. It may not seem readily apparent. We have certainly seen those in history before us that have stood for justice, who have lived in love, and in turn have been met by an oppressive force, or didn't live to see the impact of their efforts. Martin Luther King Jr., Moses, Susan B. Anthony. And yet the fire, the light that we're helping maintain on this journey is lighting the way for others, and others are grabbing a hold of it. And we have the faith to know that others are grabbing a hold of it and that it will make a difference. Because the alternative is just impossible to comprehend. And the alternative is, if we stop, then it can't go further. If we give up, then it can't go further. So, in many ways, we don't have choice, but our energy is guided by a faith that the choice that we are living into is having an impact. And one of the things, and I will be setting it up, but there will be a link for everybody. So send messages, post messages to those on the caravan, urging them on, breathing breath into them. And then I think also when you hear about some of our stops of the caravan, that maybe that will also be an opportunity for you to reach out to some of the individuals or places we're stopping. So, for example, we'll be stopping at some of the elected officials' offices. That's a great opportunity then, once you hear about that, for you to add your voice to the caravan voice and reach out to those elected officials with the same message of the caravan.
Is there anything else you'd like folks to know?
There is another thing that I think's important to hold up. So this caravan, is focusing on immigrants, and Rural Migrant Ministry is well known to be primarily concerned with farm workers. But there are a lot of other immigrants in our rural economy that are essential to all of our well-being. For example, in northern New York, there are a number of colleges and universities. And those colleges and universities welcome international students. They welcome international researchers. Those colleges and universities are dependent upon the income that comes from those folks from other countries. But the economies also around those colleges and universities are dependent upon those international students. Because those of us that may be maintenance workers at the colleges and universities or food service folk, let alone, professors or administrators, what have you, all of those jobs at those colleges and universities are dependent upon those colleges and universities being strong economically. And if those colleges and universities are weakened, then not only is that impacting the jobs of those I mentioned, but it's also impacting then the local stores and the local businesses that are dependent not just on international students, but the employees. So there's a major aspect of immigrants in relationship to our rural economy. There's also a major impact on our healthcare system and our rural hospitals and our nursing homes and senior facilities that are so dependent and utilizing immigrants for the healthcare of our own parents, our grandparents, our brothers and sisters, freeing up many of us to be able to work because we know our loved ones are being taken care of. And those immigrants are being ripped away from us also, again, impacting our rural economy. So when we talk about save our rural economy and we talk about having empathy, it's not just empathy for the immigrants. It's empathy for all the workers and the students and the children in our rural schools. All of that is a part of our rural economy, and all of that is something that we need to call out for and acknowledge the web that keeps us all together and keeps our rural economies strong.
Thank you so much, Richard. I learned a lot about this caravan and why we need to do it, and the importance of coming together at this moment, and the importance of supporting our rural communities for a lot of reasons. For anyone at home who wants to learn more, you can find information on our website, ruralmigrantministry.org. And on Facebook and Instagram, we are using the hashtag It's We Not They. So find us there, post pictures, post support, and we'd love to hear from you. And And we have more coming up for you after this music break.
How's everybody doing? Yeah. Give it up for community. Let's hear it for community. America, where are we now? There is nothing civil in war. The non-evolved filled with fright, flight from truth, fleeing souls tormented by their own lies, lies that become projectiles landing, exploding on other human rights, stifling life. America, where are we now? Will the annals of the 21st century tell the story of the precipice where we now stand? Choosing between echoes of a dark past, circa 1870, poll taxes, literacy testing, Jim Crow, or building a just future, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. America, where are we now? Ancestors of yours and mine who laid their lives on the line, long waits through time, footsteps and strides, so you and I can sing protest songs, melodies that become poetries, like Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land, Aretha's Respect, Marley's Get Up and Stand Up, Get Up and Stand Up, Get Up and Stand Up. America, where are we now? We should not shut up. We should not shut up. We should not shut up. Oh no. But use our voice instead to wake the sleeping souls of those who have grown weary and pull down their blinds, permitting no light to seep in. It is for them we speak, we march, we cry. We laugh, we dance, we walk lockstep with fist up high. It is for them, the poor white miseducated who's been spoon-fed lies. It is for them, generations born into a mental captivity of red lines. It is for them, the feet still walking bootless without bootstraps to lift themselves up, hear their sighs. It is for them we vote without their full understanding of why. It is for them we will not allow the truth of our great American story to be denied. America, where are we now? We exist together in this paradigm, twisted and intertwined, roots connected, not one better than the other. Woman, man, child, black, white, bronze, yellow, brown. So you may pass laws to take control of our bodies. Your bands will cement our bond, bring us together as women, and we will not go away. Not become your handmaiden to do with us what you please, to treat us like we no longer matter. You may pass laws which attempt to oppress our right to vote. We will not go away. We will walk until the soles of our shoes are no more, our feet bare on this shared earth, then we shall walk some more, carrying those who may have tired. You really have no clue how resilient we are. America, where are we now? You may pass laws to ban books and promote ignorance, but children always find their way to the truth through music, through art, through poetry. America, where are we now? My vote is for democracy, the right to choose and be heard. My vote is for the love that does not prop up the voices of Jews will not replace us. My vote is for the love that the relation fears don't reign in a land once built on the promise that all people are free. There is nothing civil in war. nothing civil in war. My vote is for that humanity, America. Where are we now?
You just heard Poet Gold perform her poem, America, Where Are We Now? This is a live recording from RMM's recent Voices of Hope concert. And next we have Juana Cortez de Torres. She is the director of RMM's Immigrant Legal Rights Project. And I've asked her to talk to me today about some of the reasons we have this caravan going on right now in support of New York's rural economy and in support of immigrants, rural immigrants, immigrants across New York State. And so, Juana, I'm wondering, as the head of the Immigrant Legal Rights Project, what are the threats to rural economies and to immigrants?
So one of the threats to the rural economy is basically that immigrants fuel regional economies, and they do that by using their funds to sustain housing, to sustain local businesses, and basically they make that community thrive while they're there. So that's clearly a threat. If immigration enforcement gets to deport those individuals, you will see a depression in these rural economies because they're dependent upon one another. And that's the key here, mm-hmm. right? And then if you think about the threat to the immigrant worker, right, or to the immigrant, the first and foremost threat is now the fear of deportation. Mm-hmm. And then the fear of their families being abandoned. That main breadwinner may no longer be there. And so how do we protect them, and what do we do? As the director of the Immigrants' Rights Project, my first and foremost goal is to educate and prepare this community so that if that were to occur, at a very minimum, the individuals, number one, they know their rights. Number two, the family has created a plan by which they could go forward, right? So that's certainly one of the things we see. This caravan is very important because, unlike a traditional protest, what we're trying to emphasize is the humanity of these workers and the humanity of the immigrant community and what they bring to the table. And we should never forget that when we sit down to eat a meal, someone has picked that food, someone has cut that meat, and someone has dedicated the majority of their lives for the betterment of us, mm-hmm. right? That's first and foremost.
Absolutely. Thank you, Juana. You put it so beautifully. I also wanted to ask you about some of the efforts that maybe the Legal Rights Project is doing, but also that we see around the country or New York that are being done to defend immigrants and workers.
So that actually is a two-prong attack. Okay. The first prong is education, right? So many, many organizations have Know Your Rights presentations. And so at the primary level, we're talking about teaching individual about their constitutional rights. At a greater level, then you have organizations filing litigation to sustain the Constitution, to remind people that we are a country of laws, those laws should be followed, precedent should be followed. And then even if there's so many things that people are doing, but people are even now drafting legislation dealing with the issue of masking. Because what you are seeing is, quote unquote, law enforcement, ICE enforcement, CPB enforcement, but they're masked. And this, historically, that has an issue. Although their ability to have masks plays a role, but we're not talking about arresting a dangerous drug cartel member or a dangerous gang member. If you look at TV, what do you see? You see a young student being dropped off at school or a person going to work, and you see the discrimination in how people are being profiled. Citizens have been detained and arrested. So it really shows you that as a lawyer, we have to continue to litigate, but we must continue to educate our community. That's the only way to battle this. And we also have to remind everyone, including American citizens, that everyone's rights will be infringed upon if we allow this to continue and happen.
Who would you love to see coming together in support of this caravan?
I would love to see the everyday man mm-hmm. to support this caravan. That's the one. The other thing I would love to see is educators because it's like you're feeding someone's soul, right? And educators just have that ability to touch people at all ages and at all levels. So that would be someone that I think is very important. Of course, individuals that have always advocated for human rights and civil rights, mm-hmm. right? Persons of different religious faiths, all faiths, because we all have that common need for love and for peace. And for me, that's my personal opinion. That's what religion means to me, right? Mm-hmm. Peace among all faiths. That's who I'd like to see. Mm.
I can agree with that. For my last question, what do you see as some of the positive impacts of immigrants to rural New York?
Again, what they bring to the local economy, the cultural diversity that they teach their brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. their language, of course, the fact that they, when called to be an essential worker, and we should not forget that, they were essential workers, right? Everything they bring to the table, economics, culture, the socialness of them, their sacrifice, because they fulfill and they do what other people don't do. And when you talk about labor shortages, when I say that phrase covers what? Farming, construction, meat packing, cutting your lawn, babysitting, your healthcare worker. These are the people that sustain not only the rural economy, but nationwide. And that's why they really merit the respect that everyone should be giving them.
Thank you, Juana. I appreciate your time today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for joining us today for RMM's Empathy and Action. This is a series as part of our Journey of Empathy caravan to save New York's rural economy. Thank you to Reverend Richard Witt and Juana Cortez de Torres. Intro and outro music by an anonymous youth activist. In the next episode, we look to the past for inspiration as we confront the struggles of today. I hope you take a listen. In solidarity, I'm Jennifer Rogers Brown.